Okay, welcome. So, first let me explain why I've picked this topic for this evening. So, at the last two women's evenings, we thought about loving one another. And I guess I thought the next logical step was to think about loving people who are not Christians. And what does God say about how we relate to them? How do we treat them? And I was thinking as well, it ties in with what we've been learning in our last term in growth groups in Sunday church about sharing the gospel with people. And I've also been thinking a bit about how there's, I think there's some confusion in society about how people can make truth claims. So like us believing that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet function as good citizens in society, in a pluralistic society, so a society where people believe all kinds of different things about the nature of reality. And what I'd really love us to see this evening is that being good citizens in a pluralistic society is the norm for Bible-believing Christians, and the God of the Bible's calling us to a radical love for all people, whether they share our beliefs or not. So this evening there's going to be some Bible input from me, then we're going to be hearing from a couple of women about how they seek to love people in their lives who aren't Christians, and then there's going to be some time for reflection and prayer for all of us. We'll have a break in the middle for puddings, but you know, do feel free just to serve yourself throughout the evening to any refreshments. Thanks for bringing stuff this evening. So let's have a think, first of all, about what the Bible says about how Christians are to relate to those who are not Christian. And this is going to be about 20 minutes, so sit back and relax. So I'm going to be sharing quite a few Bible verses with you this evening, but the key passage that we're going to keep coming back to is Luke 6, 27 to 36, which is on your sheets. So I'll start by reading that. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So this passage is infused with love, isn't it? So the first thing I want us to see is that Christians are to love people who are not Christians. Hopefully an obvious point. That Christians are to love people who are not Christians. So the whole shape of our interactions with non-Christians is to be love. To be honest, when I started searching the Bible for what it said about loving non-Christians, I was overwhelmed by how much data there is. The Bible's full of it. And so all I can attempt to do in this talk is to pass on some of the places that it's talked about. So remember Jesus' words in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying that the whole Old Testament, so the law and the prophets, can be summed up as love God and love your neighbour. And who's my neighbour? As the lawyer asked Jesus in Luke 10. Well, it turned out that a Samaritan and a Jew were neighbours. So someone who wasn't one of God's people and someone who was. So my neighbour can be someone who's a Christian or someone who's not. And how is this love that the Old Testament talks about summed up? Well, if you look at verse 31 of the passage on your sheets, Jesus says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." And in Matthew's version of that, he adds, "For this is the law and the prophets." So love God and love neighbour, whether Christian or not. And this love of non-Christians is to extend even to those who are enemies. So verses 27 and 28 of our key passage, "Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you." Now we see the apostles picking up this teaching about loving both Christians and non-Christians in their letters. So there's a few references here. So Paul says in Galatians 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So yes, especially to do good to fellow Christians, but not only to them, to everyone. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." And in Titus 3, "Remind them to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarrelling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people." And then Peter, in 1 Peter 2, says, "Honour everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the emperor." So honour everyone, not just the brotherhood. So it's the consistent teaching of the Bible that God's people are to love people who are not in God's family, to treat them as they would wish to be treated, even those who choose to make themselves their enemies. So a good question, I guess, to ask ourselves at the moment would be, what's my attitude to the people in my life who are not Christians? Do I love them? Am I seeking to do them good? Am I seeking to treat them as I would wish to be treated? Do I speak about them as I would wish to be spoken about? Do I love them? And when I think more broadly about people in society or around the world who don't share my beliefs, so people of other religions and no religion, are my thoughts loving? Do I think of them with love? Or do I buy into the fear and suspicion of people different from me that we sometimes hear of in the media as being Christian? The Bible knows nothing of that type of Christianity. You see, it's been the consistent pattern of behaviour of Bible-believing Christians throughout the generations to show love to all, whether Christian or not. From the earliest Christians in the time of the Roman Empire, who were known for showing practical love, not just to their own fellow believers, but to all, to the social reformers of the 18th and 19th centuries, like William Wilberforce, Lord Shaftesbury, and Thomas Bernardo, who founded the children's charity Bernardo's. And that's just a handful of famous examples. I think we also need to be aware that many terrible things have been done in the name of Christianity that were clearly not loving. So, for example, the Crusades in the Middle Ages, some racism and discrimination historically and even now. And when, you know, if I'm honest, when I think of some of the things I've thought myself, said, and done to others, I'm ashamed, aren't you? But Christians are to love people who are not Christians. So let's think a little bit now about why Christians are to love non-Christians and what that love is to look like? And actually, the answer is the same for both the why and the how. Hopefully you'll see why. So, Christians are to love like God the Father loves, to show the family likeness. And this is on the sheet. So we're to be like our Father in heaven, who loves his enemies. Look with me at our key passage again, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So if we love like our Heavenly Father does, then we're living out our identity as sons of the Most High. We're showing the family likeness, as it were. Now, we all know how children so often have some characteristics of their parents, either in looks or in personality. I used to be friends with a lovely couple who were two of the chattiest people I have ever met. So there was never an awkward silence in their company. And when they had their children, I remember them saying to me that they couldn't understand why their children were so lively and chatty. I have to admit, it seemed very obvious to me. They were just, I was amazed that they couldn't see that their children were just like them. It was lovely, but they just couldn't see it. Well, God wants us to show the characteristics of being his children, to show the family likeness. And that answers both the why and the how of loving those who are not Christians. So, what does this family likeness, this love, look like? Now, I'm going to give you three main things. You may be able to think of more, but here's three main things. So, active doing good. Active doing good, even to enemies. And this one's on your sheet. So, our passage says, God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, verse 35. He is merciful. So he doesn't just love the ungrateful and the evil from afar. He does kind things to them. So Matthew 5:45 says that he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So God every day is actively doing good to everyone in the world by keeping the sun rising and the rain falling on them, whether they acknowledge him or not. And then the ultimate act, kind act, is in sending his son to rescue people who weren't in his family. So Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or John 3:16, which I'm sure you all know. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So God didn't wait until we loved him, to love us. He loved a world that was living in rebellion against him. He loved non-Christians. He loved us. So we could be asking ourselves, how can I be like my Father? What act of good can I do the non-Christians around me? Active doing good. So the second characteristic I want to think about is non-retaliation. So verses 27 to 29 of our main passage again. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. This is exactly how God has behaved towards us, isn't it? So rather than giving us what our sins deserve, he himself has absorbed the punishment we deserve in Christ. And even as Christ suffered for us, he was the ultimate model of non-retaliation. So 1 Peter 2, 21 to 23. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Do you see how we can choose not to retaliate? Well, it's to do what Christ did, to entrust ourselves to God, who is the judge and will repay. So I don't have to pay someone back, because God will. Either they'll experience the punishment they deserve for what they did to us, or if they accept Christ as the solution to that, as we have, God will absorb their punishment in his Son, as he has ours. So non-retaliation. And lastly, the other major way we show our family likeness to people who aren't Christians is by doing everything we can to share the good news respectfully and gently. This is the ultimate expression of our love for people who aren't Christians, isn't it?
I wonder who got John 3.
Ah, here's John 3:16. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved people. He loved us. So he sent his Son to die for them and for us. We love people. So we tell them about what God did for them. We want them to receive God's Son. And we want that more than anything else we might want for them, because it's the most important thing in life. It's so that they don't perish but have eternal life. Sisters, do we love people enough to choose to serve them so that we might win them to Christ? I hope so. If this conjures up pictures in your mind of metaphorically bashing people over the head with a Bible, biblical Christianity knows nothing of that. Look at how Peter puts it in 1 Peter 3. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. So we love people enough to seek to win them to Christ. We show them respect, we're gentle with them, and we make sure our behaviour is godly and good. That it's consistent with us telling people how much God loves them in Christ. If I try to share the good news of Jesus with my neighbours, and yet I'm known as the person in the block who's inconsiderate to others, then no one's going to listen. But if I'm known as someone who actively does good to my neighbours and who doesn't repay evil for evil, then when I speak about Christ, I might well get a hearing. So do everything we can to share the good news respectfully and gently. So we've seen that Christians are to love people who are not Christians, and we're to love like God our Father loves, to show the family likeness, active doing good, non-retaliation, and doing everything we can to share the good news respectfully and gently. So let's consider three implications as we come to the end of the talk. So first implication, pray for a changed heart to love people. It's hard, isn't it? Our selfish selves would rather not bother. We'd rather just concentrate on our own needs and have people love us. We need our hearts transformed to be other person focused, like God is. Second implication, as we have opportunity. It can seem overwhelming, can't it? There's a lot of non-Christians in the world. At my workplace, in my street. Well, Galatians 10, I don't know if we got that up again. No, let's go back to Galatians 10, is freeing. As well as challenging, I think. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, as we have opportunity. So how about starting with my family, my children, my parents, my spouse, my friendship group, my immediate work colleagues, my immediate neighbours? That's quite freeing, isn't it? As well as challenging. And then third implication, live life among non-Christians. Now that may seem obvious, but some Christians can end up in a Christian bubble where they've got no significant relationships with people who aren't Christians, either out of fear of compromise or maybe because they find it easier to be friends with Christians. Now, some of us might be the other way around and have no significant relationships with Christians, and that's not what God wants either. We need both if we're going to love both. So, three implications of the need to love non-Christians. Pray for a changed heart, to love people as we have opportunity, and live life among non-Christians. We're going to hear some real-life examples of these in a few minutes when we have our interviews. But for now, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have loved us with a love that was proactive, that loved us before we loved you, that even loved your enemies. And Father, we pray that we would be those who show the family likeness and love those around us who don't know you, even those who may think that they're our enemies. Father, we pray that we would learn from you how to love, and we would be encouraged to keep going in loving those who don't know you. And we pray this for your glory.